Columbus, brisk and difficult almost summer Seattle morning. We have gathered together to remember the life and the deeds of Claire T. Hopkins. We begin with the comforting poetry of the biblical song. If Sinai, El Hekari, may I, Yahweh, see. El Sinai, El Hekari, may I, Yahweh,
into the waters of the river Styx, where Charon, the god,
was to take her to the region of the departed spirits. Charon reminded her that she could drink of the waters of Lethe, and thereby forget all the anguish she had experienced in life. She said, "I will forget how I have suffered." Charon replied, "You will forget how you rejoiced." The woman challenged, "I shall forget my failures." Charon reminded her, "And also your victory." Again she said, "I shall forget all of the painful memories of my life." Charon countered, "You will forget all the loving and joyful memories of life." In silence, the woman meditated and ultimately elected not to drink the waters of beauty. She chose to retain her memories of sadness, of loss, and tribulation, rather than surrender the loving memories of her life as well. This legend is so eminently appropriate as we remember Claire this morning. Not only because it emerged from the Mediterranean region of Claire's family origins, but because it so precisely reflects her remarkable and resilient perspective on life. As I sat with you, her loving family, you shared with me the portrait of an amazing woman. Your heartfelt words are an eloquent tribute to Claire's life, her memory, and its enduring impact upon us. Claire was born in Vallejo, California, hardly a hotbed of Jewish, let alone Sephardic culture. But Claire was nestled in the warm embrace of an extended family and community. From her youngest years, she confronted family struggle and loss. For some, such early trials leave bitter impressions that color a lifetime. But Claire chose a different path. She transcended these challenges, choosing not to be defined by them, devoting herself to a continuous discovery of life's blessings, treasures, and celebrations. Claire attended UC Berkeley, but a card game involving her father and another gentleman set the wheels of fate in motion. Joe Piha's father suggested that Claire might enjoy meeting some strapping eligible Sephardic boys in Seattle. One trip and date sparked Joe's interest, followed by a number of excursions up and down the coast, leading, not surprisingly in light of Claire's renowned charms, to a wedding and life partnership spanning 42 years. Despite a tragic loss of overwhelming implications, the death of a husband and son that might have crushed any of us, Claire's resolve to rise above enabled her to find love again with Ruben, and after his passing most recently, with Mark. She enjoyed dining and dancing, cruises and nightlife with these fortunate fellows. Claire was the perfect partner in so many ways, balancing the firm determination of the men she loved with a sweetness and velvet glove and softening of their rigor, often realizing her needs and desires in subtle yet effective ways. Renee, Jane, Mom was a potent model for you as a wife, a mother, and a woman. Though respectful of the more traditional gender roles of her era, she learned to assert herself in significant ways, though you were able to get away with more than you probably should have grown up. But most importantly, you both were astounded at her learned ability to endure inconceivable blows and to move on, often with seemingly more ease than you could. In retrospect, you've come to cherish her powerful example of optimism. Tom, you have greatly appreciated Claire's warm embrace, especially of your 20-year-old self, which, as a father, you now understand to be extraordinary. But more critically, Claire was that vital parental presence that you so very much needed in the absence of your own. And Benson, aside from her matzo balls that rivaled even your mother's, you were grateful for Claire's unqualified acceptance and loving support as you joined the family. Our lives are awash in a cascade of images, shards of us there to Dallas for it. We remember the lover and player of music, born of youthful bus trips to the San Francisco Symphony and Opera, as she continued to encourage and sometimes drag her partners to larger performances, or share intimate embraces lofted upon romantic ballads on a darkened guest. We recall the quintessential purveyor of style and fashion whose passion for care of self radiated from her through meticulous attention to her appearance, her outfits, and her surroundings. And we remember the strong, vibrant woman who always said yes to life, even in the face of dire, debilitating loss, refusing to be subsumed by circumstance or situation, triumphing resoundingly in her embrace of the future. Though I admired Claire a bit from afar, seeing her particularly on Marvin's arm at various functions, I feel immensely honored and privileged to have shared a few sacred moments at her bedside in these last few weeks. From the moment I entered the room, and despite years of difficult treatment of a virulent disease, Claire greeted me with a beaming smile and a brightness of spirit that, frankly, caught me a bit off guard. And then, we spoke. She shared not only the depths of the tragedy that had befallen her, but more tellingly and more authentically, she shared her all-encompassing sense of contentment for the blessings in her life. Her daughters and sons-in-law, her grandchildren and great-grandchildren, her partners, and the opportunity she embraced to live fully, richly, and well. Claire had no regrets, only affirmation for an existential glass perpetually filled. I have shared countless encounters such as these in my rapture, but rarely have I been so moved, so inspired, so blessed by expressions of resilience. This is indeed the precious legacy Claire leaves to all of us. You will not look around. They have a family for them. I'd like to ask some family members to come forward and share some very special thoughts.